Teacher friends, I want to drop a fun fact for you. I am a wildly competitive person. I don't care whether I'm playing on a team of 100, on a team with two other people, or I'm just competing against myself. I love competitions and I love winning. And you know what's interesting? Our students are competitive as well. Now, I know that you're like, not all students are competitive. Competitive things can be very detrimental in the classroom. But here's my thoughts on this, and this is based off of my 15 years of experience in the classroom. I think there are some kids who are loud competitors. I think there are some kids who are quiet competitors. I think there are students who love everything we do, therefore they're competitors. And I think there are kids in our classrooms who get combative about everything, and guess what? That's actually competitive. Now, I am a loud competitor. I like a chance. I like a sweatband. But what I want to do in this episode is talk about how we can use class competitions to our advantage, how we can take class competitions and leverage them for learning, leverage them for even better expectation follow through, how we can literally create something very simple and oftentimes very silly to get kids on our team as one full classroom family. Some of my most downloaded podcast episodes of the This Teacher Life podcast are based off of the competitions that I throw in my classroom. I have an entire chapter about classrooms in my book called Game Changers, and this episode is a game changer. This is based off of something that I did in my classroom in September, and it was a huge success. So guess what? I'm going to give you the details. I'm going to give you the structure. I'm going to give you all of the things that you need so you can have an outstanding October or a no-stress November or a dynamic December. It doesn't matter what month you are listening to this episode in. This strategy, this class competition is going to be so much fun, not just for your students, but also for you. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I want you to know in advance that this classroom management idea feels like a game show. And there is one thing that a lot of game shows have in common. Wheel of Fortune has this, The Price is Right has this, and there's even a recent game show called The Wheel that has it. If you guess that all three of those game shows have something that you spin, you are correct. On The Price is Right, you can spin the big wheel and hopefully land on a dollar where you can win like $10,000. On Wheel of Fortune, you spin a wheel and it makes that amazing clicking noise and you can go bankrupt. You can win a prize like a trip to Hawaii, or you can win $100 for saying the letter T, and T's show up on the board and Vanna hits the button. Well, guess what? Because this classroom management idea is all about bringing some fun and competition to your classroom, there is also a wheel in this idea. It's why I call it spinning and winning in September. But you can call it spinning and winning in October. It doesn't matter what month you're doing it in. The point is that we're going to spin a wheel and we're hopefully going to win. What's the win for us? It's a win that kids are going to be organized. It's a win that kids are going to be respectful. It's a win that kids are going to bring their Chromebooks charged. Those are all wins. What are the kids going to win? Well, we're going to talk about that at the end of the episode. But this is a win-win situation, and it is so easy to implement. So let's start by talking about the wheel. What wheel am I talking about? Well, I actually purchased a few years ago a wheel off of the Amazon, but don't zone out yet, because guess what? You can use a completely free digital wheel as well. There's a wheel on a website called wheelofnames.com, and this digital wheel is created for you to put names on the wheel, and then you can spin and it lands on a kid's names. But the cool thing about it is Wheel of Names is completely editable. So you can include names, you can include expectations, or you can include numbers. Now, if you listened to my spin and win message, my spin and win episode from last March, you know that I did this idea with expectations last year in the spring. But it's the fall right now. And I know some of us feel like we are falling already. There are some students who feel like they are falling through the cracks. There are some expectations that we admit are falling through the cracks. So what goes on the wheel for this beginning of the year competition? Numbers. So on my wheel, I want to actually tell you exactly what's on my wheel. I have the number 100. I have the number 50. I also have 5. I have the number 10. I also have the number 1. I have the number dice. Wait, what? Yeah, it's not a number. There are two spots on my wheel that say dice. And right next to it, there is a dice that we roll from anywhere from 1 to 6. Now, I teach middle school students this year. So I did a bit of a remix, because guess what? There are sections of my wheel that have negative numbers. Negative 1 is on that wheel, and negative 10 is on the wheel. And that is not to stress kids out. Those negative numbers are to be strategic. Because as teachers, we understand that buy-in is so important. And if kids are spinning this wheel and one class lands on 100, they're like, what? They got a 100 points? Well, guess what? The next day, that exact same class could land on negative 10. So they're going to have to subtract numbers. Especially at the beginning of the year, and one of my number one goals is to get all of my class periods to buy into this competition. How do we get them to buy into it and to stay engaged in it? By having completely random numbers, by having completely random chance to be back in the competition at any point in time and to lose sight of winning the competition at any point in time. So, numbers go on the wheel. Now, if you go to my Instagram or you go to my Facebook or even the podcast link, I will include a picture of the wheel so you can get a visual of exactly how mine is set up. But the wheel that I bought off of Amazon, it has 10 sections. In fact, if you want to check out the exact wheel that I have, I'll link it in the show notes. But it's monicagenta.com/Amazon, and you can see the exact wheel that I have that I use in my classroom. So what's cool is when you spin that wheel, you hear the click, 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 click. It's amazing. Guess what? If you use the free Wheel of Names, you also hear the click, 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 which is wildly satisfying, and it gets kids amped. So the wheel has random numbers. And so therefore, these kids are going to buy in at any point in time because they know one land on a 100, they can be back in the competition. One land on negative 10, they could lose sight of the competition. So kids are engaged in this for the entire month. Now, I do month-long competitions in my classroom because I think that's an appropriate timeline for middle school students. I think that's an appropriate timeline for high school students as well. But if you are teaching younger students, if you're teaching elementary, maybe you're not doing a full month. Maybe you're doing 1 week. If you teach first graders, maybe you're doing a spinning and winning competition for 1 week of the month. Maybe you teach a fourth grade class. So your fourth grade family is going to be competing for maybe 2 months, okay? So we know how they get points. They get points by spinning the wheel and what they land on. But the big question now should be, but how do they get to spin? Why do they get to spin? When do they get to spin? Well, let's talk about that. So how do they spin? This is based off of, in September, what I did was I did a mystery expectation. You heard that correctly. In September, I did spinning and winning in September with a surprise September expectation each day. We started in early August. So when September rolled around, pun intended, when September rolled around, we were almost an entire month in. So students knew what my clear and consistent expectations were. For those of you who listened to that episode back in September where I talked about clear and consistent consequences and clear and consistent celebrations, this should totally make sense because this is obviously a celebration type of thing. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, oh, you got to go back and listen to that episode from September about the three C's: clear, consistent consequences, clear, consistent celebrations. And this is a celebration. So I am very clear about what I want. I'm very consistent about what I want. And this is a chance to celebrate students at the end of the class period. So let's say I'm a science teacher, and let's say that at the end of the day, I say to kids, hey, tomorrow we're going to be doing a science lab. And for that science lab, you're going to need to make sure that you bring something to write with. See, I planted a seed. We're doing a science lab tomorrow. You're going to need to make sure that you're bringing something to write with. All of a sudden, kids pay very close attention to what I'm saying because the day before, I plant a seed of what they are going to need, of what I am expecting. Because let's say I announce that on a Monday and then Tuesday they come in and we're doing this science lab and they're rotating around the classroom with the lab sheet and hopefully something to write with. And at the end of the class period, I will announce the mystery expectation today was that everybody had something to write with. Whoa. See, I planted the seed and they listened, hopefully. That's the goal, is not only are kids following the expectation, but they are listening very closely to what we say because the September mystery expectation, the surprise expectation, was announced the day before. Let me give you another example. Let's say we were doing a digital scavenger hunt for science. So let's say we're doing that on Thursday. On Wednesday, I might say, hey, make sure you guys are bringing your Chromebooks charged tomorrow because we are doing a digital science scavenger hunt, which is on your Chromebook. So then what happens is the kids start to figure it out. They're like, you guys, did you hear it? She said that we're doing a digital scavenger hunt, so we should have our Chromebooks charged. That's probably the mystery expectation for tomorrow. They start holding themselves accountable. They start holding the entire class accountable. They're accountability partners because they are listening and they want to spin at the end of the class period. So let's say on that lab day that all of the students in the class had something to write with. You better believe we're spinning and winning, baby. And maybe that day they land on 100. Well, then on my classroom board, I've got this area called the competition corner, where I am keeping tracks of the points that each class period family has. So if that was the first day of the competition, I'm going over to the board and I'm writing down 100 points because the mystery expectation was that everybody had something to write with and they did. So we spun the wheel and it landed on 100. And before class leaves, I say, hey, tomorrow we're going to be doing a science scavenger hunt. It's digital, so make sure you have your Chromebooks charged. So they know, oh, the mystery expectation tomorrow is probably a charged Chromebook. So they come in the next day, and let's say that all of the kids had enough juice in their computer to finish the scavenger hunt. Now, you might be thinking, well, enough juice. Like, what about the rest of the day? Here's the thing, as a teacher, I can't control what is happening in every other class period. I can't control, and you can't control, what's happening in the gym or at recess. We can encourage positive behaviors, but sometimes I understand as teachers, we get very stressed because we are trying to manage 8 hours of the school day. If they are not in our space, it's really difficult to manage that. We can, again, encourage it, but we can't manage it. So in my classroom for spin and win, and the expectation was if you had enough juice, enough charge to get through the science scavenger hunt, well, the mystery expectation was a charged Chromebook and you did it. So we're spinning and winning. Now, let's say that they spin the wheel and they land on negative 10. You might be like, oh no, but they did what they needed to do. Correct. And they had 100 points on the board from yesterday, but this is cumulative for the entire month. So if they had 100, and then even though they all had a charged Chromebook, would I still subtract negative 10 points? Would I take away 10 points if they landed on that? The answer is yes. Even though they did exactly what they needed to do, because sometimes that's just real life. Right? Sometimes unexpected things come our way. I call those whammies. Sometimes, speaking of game shows, hello, that's a whammy, an unexpected life event. And so even though they did what they needed to do at the end of day two, they're at 90 points. Do you know who that also helps? Well, it helps that class on a life level, but it helps the next class who came in and they're like, dang it, they had 100 points. And then they come in, they're like, 90, what happened? I'm like, they landed on negative 10. They're like, you guys, we can make a comeback because we could land on 100 today and we could be beating them. Exactly. This is a variable competition that is random on the wheel. What do the kids have control over? Their expectations, their organization, their attitude, their timeliness, their engagement. They have control over that. They have no control over the wheel, which actually helps to create buy-in and motivation for the entire month. So, to kind of summarize, every single day, I think about what would be the number one thing that would be helpful if the kids did it, or what would be the number one thing that would be really helpful if the kids didn't do it. Okay, maybe it's that kids have been coming late. So I give them, you know, the day before, like, you guys, I noticed that we had 4 kids late today. I'm really hoping tomorrow that you guys are all on time. Plant the seed. The next day, the mystery expectation is all kids are on time and ready to learn. So whether it's on time, charged Chromebooks, respectful behaviors, not touching each other, you get to pick what is something that you need instantaneous help on. What is something that would de-stress your teacher life if they did it or if they didn't do it? So you have to be a little bit proactive in thinking about, listen, I might not be able to get 100% of students doing 100% of expectations correctly in the second or third month of school, but I can get them at least doing the one most beneficial thing every single day by creating a surprise expectation. And then if they do it, we're spinning and winning. Now, again, I do this for the entire month, but maybe this is going to work better for just 1 week or 2 weeks, depending upon the age and the ability of your students. Now, I want you to know that I do this as 100% class family. This is something that I think is important, that we are all in this together. We are a second hour family, a third hour family, a ninth hour family, and so on. But you might be thinking, girl, I teach fourth grade. I see the same kids all day long. Or girl, I teach kindergarten. I see the same kids all day long. If you see the same 22 kindergartners all day long, you are a saint. You are practically Mother Teresa. Okay, and you are winning just that life right now. But if you're like, I can't do this because I see the same kids all day long, so who are they competing against? Nobody. They're competing against themselves. So if I saw the same kids all day long, rather than saying like, look, second hour family beat fifth hour family, or look, first hour family beat sixth hour family, I would say, as a kindergarten family, or as a second grade family, we are working towards a specific numeric goal. That's what we're working towards. And if you have 100 on the wheel, well, maybe it's 300. Okay? You have to think about how many days, instructional days, are in the week or in the 2 weeks, whatever your time period is, and what would be a reasonable number of points that they could achieve as a classroom family. So instead of competing against other classes, they are competing as a classroom family to hit the target, to hit the numeric goal that you have pre-established by looking at the calendar. Here's another simple remix. Maybe you're like, Monica, first graders are not going to be sustained all day long. They can't wait until the end of the day to spin and win. Okay, so maybe you're doing a spin and win in the morning time block and a spin and win in the afternoon time block. So then maybe your numeric goal isn't 300 for the week. Maybe yours is 600, right? You get the flexibility and freedom to adjust the point values, the numbers on the actual wheel, the timeline of this. You get to pick the parameters. I'm laying the foundational framework. So spinning and winning. You know how they can spin. I know now that you know like how this feels like a win because kids are doing what they're supposed to do. So now the final big question is, but what are the kids winning? And I want to tackle that very important detail in the next part of this episode. So stick around for a minute. I am all about creating daily wins in our lives with our students and in our curriculum. I think if we can celebrate little tiny moments of laughter and learning every single day, that is going to create an awesome school year. Guess what? Spoiler alert. Spinning and winning is all about connecting with kids on a life level to celebrate them and their amazing accomplishments as organized, engaged, respectful classroom leaders. Well, guess what? If you are needing some extra support and some extra ideas and some extra lessons to create 180 days of awesome learning in your classroom, then I have just the thing. It's actually called 180 Days of Awesome Social Emotional Learning, and it is a fully planned, fully engaging 180-day curriculum for your students. It's got discussion questions, it's got activities, it has everything that you need to have an incredible advisory, morning meeting, homeroom, or SEL time in your classroom with your students. And here's the best part. There are now two versions of this. There is a lower elementary version that is perfect for our students in grades first through fourth. And there is a version that is perfect for middle school and high school students around grades 5 through 9. 180 Days of Awesome SEL is going to get you winning on a daily basis because this curriculum is specifically designed to get kids college, career, and life ready by working on those essential social and emotional skills like communication, compassion, camaraderie, connection, empathy, teamwork, and all of those core values that we know our kids need in order to thrive. If you haven't already checked out 180 Days of Awesome SEL, this is the time. You can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL. And I'll also put a direct link to that in the show notes. If you want every day to feel like a huge win, and if you want all of your students to feel like they are trusted and loved and having a blast, kind of like the contestants on a game show, 180 Days of Awesome SEL is for you. Don't miss out on this opportunity to create 180 Days of Awesome morning meeting, advisory, or homeroom. And not to mention, it is going to save you hours worth of teacher stress and teacher planning. And that's a huge win. Here's here's what I want to emphasize about spinning and winning is every single day that the kids have the opportunity to spin, it is a small celebration. In fact, just a few days ago, as I was finishing up this competition, one of my classroom families landed on a 100. And they flipped out. The door to my classroom was open, and I teach in a very old historic building, and God love them. They were just so genuinely excited that they screamed and they yelled and they clapped, and quite frankly, I was excited too. And all of a sudden, you could hear other teachers in the hallway shut their doors. Listen, not all noise is made equal. We were making some educational noise because 100% of students had their science folders with them, and inside of those science folder were their notes and also the activity that we were working on. Did I allow a celebration of learning for that moment? Yes, that is a huge teacher win. 100% of kids were ready to learn some dynamic science because they were organized, they were prepared, and I friggin' loved it. So, there are wins every single day. I know sometimes we don't like competitions because kids will often ask, what do we get if we win? Sometimes we get the celebration. On a day-to-day basis, what do you get if you win? A cheer, a clap, a heck yes, as I go over to the board and I update your score for the month. But at the same time, if you are the winning class, I do want to reward you with something more like monetarily, or, you know, the hottest commodity is not a money item, it's a time item. What do kids get? I never know the answer to that until I ask them. And that's a really important thing that I want to focus on. I ask my students, what would be something that would motivate you to continue spinning and winning? And I asked them about midway through the month. At about the halfway point, we hit pause and we say, okay, if you guys win, because we're about 2 weeks out from the end of the month, what would motivate you? So it's creating a re-invitation to buy in, because now we're setting, what is the thing? Is it a time-based thing? Is it a money-based thing? Is it a food thing? Is it an activity thing? Like, what would motivate you? And I want to share some things that got brought up in my actual September competition. Some students in a class said, could we have a cereal party? And I was like, ooh, that's a seriously good idea. Okay, that's a good pun. So they brought up this idea of buying cereal, and guess what? At the $1.25 tree, you can buy not even full boxes. You can buy these like bags of cereal for a dollar. And so I knew that, so I agreed to that because that could be very cost effective to go and buy like five or six different little bags, and they wanted dry cereal, but they wanted to like make like a mixed up bowl of cereal. They were going to get crazy. They were going to combine Fruit Loops with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and they were going to combine Cocoa Pebbles with Fruity Pebbles. Get wild. I agreed that if they won, a cereal party was on, because I genuinely thought that that was a seriously good idea. Okay. All right. Done with that. Another class said, would we be able to play catchphrase? And I was like, oh, this is a huge win for me, because catchphrase is an amazing communication game. And I own a kid-appropriate catchphrase. In fact, you can make a kid-appropriate catchphrase on an app called Phrase Party. So they didn't want food. They just wanted to have some fun during class. So what's the timeline that I give them? As long as it's not longer than one class period, I'm game. So a full movie? Can we watch the entire Remember the Titans? No, we cannot. No, we cannot. Can we go and do a field trip? No, that's going to take an entire day. Or could it? Hold on that. So the timeline is about one class period. So like 45 minutes is my timeline. My cost is usually around 10 bucks. If it's some sort of treat or food or whatever, I'm okay with that as long as we're about $10. Now, I said no to a field trip, but guess what? One class said, Miss Jenta, if we win, could we do a field trip to the Dollar General. And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, we could go to the Dollar General and whatever you were going to spend on treats, we could go and pick out the treats for ourselves using your budget. And I was like, oh, holy shit. That's a great idea. Because guess what? I teach in rural America. And do you know what is 5 blocks away from my school? The Dollar General. And have I actually taken kids on a legitimate field trip to the Dollar General before? Yes, I have. And so now they're like, listen, can we spend the budget? Can we specifically pick things out? It would be like a field trip as a family. I absolutely said yes to that. That's combining so many life skills. Then they're working on a budget. Like, I loved everything about this. I understand that some of you are like, there's no way that that would work because I can't take the kids to the Walmart. Well, when you work in a rural town and you got a Dollar General, the DG, like 5 blocks away, this is reasonable on time and on budget. The whole takeaway message here is, what do they get if they win? I let them decide. This spinning and winning thing is a massive win because it's holding kids accountable. It's causing them to follow the expectation. There is some competitive luck that absolutely happens. Therefore, kids are buying in the whole time. It creates momentum. It creates motivation. And at the end of the day, it only takes about 1 minute of my class time. 1 minute for me to say, hey, here's probably what I would do or make sure that you're going to do tomorrow when you walk into my class. And the other 30 seconds is having the kid come up to the front of the room who randomly got selected by popsicle sticks to spin the wheel if they earned it. 1 minute worth of class time to create clear and consistent celebrations. I would say yes to that every day of the week. In fact, I do, because I host a different class competition every single month. Friends, this idea is absolutely going to make your October outstanding if you choose to do it in October. Or maybe it's going to make it a jovial January. I really hope that you try this, and I really hope you see all the game-changing benefits of this. Now, one thing that I want to say before the end of this episode is that if you haven't already stored a number in your phone, I want you to get out your device and put in this number. This is the teacher hotline talk line for the This Teacher podcast. It's 815-780-9505. That's 815-780-9505. If you have any questions about things that are happening in your classroom, call that number, leave a voicemail. If you've got some ridiculous thing that happened in your classroom and you just want to share it with thousands of teachers across the United States, call that hotline and share it, leave a voicemail. The Teacher Hotline Talk Line is brand new for this season of the This Teacher Life podcast, and each month there will be some call-based episodes. In fact, next week, you are going to hear a voicemail that was left by a teacher that is going to help you in an area of your teacher life. I hope that you are spinning and winning as you sprint into this school year. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out the show links with Wheel of Names, as well as the 180 Days of Awesome curriculum, which is going to help you all year long. And thanks for living this teacher life.